Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. I appreciate you tuning this way this morning, and I trust the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Well, I'd like to say that this coming Sunday, we will be having our annual Father's Day service on Sunday morning. And that will begin at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 for worship service. And then we will not have service Sunday night. Then went back again on Wednesday night at 7, when we do have night service on Sunday, it is at 6. So I'll give you an invitation to come and be with us there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. And also announced that beginning on Sunday, the 16th, the camp meeting in Taylorsville, North Carolina will begin. That's where Brother Steve Dagenhart is the pastor of the church, and they sponsor this 2-week camp meeting every year, and have some of the best preachers in the area and some out of the area to come, and they have morning and night service. They'll feed you, and if you're a preacher, they'll put you up, and my goodness, just make it so easy for people to get to the camp meeting, and I know you'd be blessed if you wanted to attend that. Well, now we're going to have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message.
My mind gets so vexed by the world that we're in, by battles and struggles and the heartache of sin.
That old time gun.
us a new song, and happy we'll be. But I'd like to tell you, I'm not going that way. I'll stay with the blood and the price Jesus paid. I was born in the fire, and the smoke will not do. I'm walking the old paths, brother. How about you? Thank God for the altar. That's where I got in. That old time conviction revealed all my sin. That old King James Bible, it still works today. Thank God I was raised in the old-fashioned way.
Yes, sir, I say amen to that song. I am so glad that I got in before everybody started changing the gospel and making it easy without conviction and without repentance. And I just wouldn't give you a nickel for a man's chance of getting to heaven if he's never realized he was lost and cried out to God to save him. You can talk about, you can sit there and say, I believe in God all day long, but if you've not had a personal experience where the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin, and you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked for His mercy and received Him into your heart as your Savior, friend, I wouldn't give you a nickel for your whatever you're counting on when you leave this world. But I'm glad that when I was saved, it was a long time ago. And they still had, people believed in conviction. They still believe you had to come by the way of the cross. It had to be saved by the blood of Jesus, not some other way. I'm glad that the old King James Bible, people say they can't understand it. Well, you just need to know the author. If you knew the author intimately, you could understand it. But if you don't, then yeah, you may have a little problem with it. But it's God's Word, and if you know God, I believe you hear His voice and know His voice and understand it when He speaks. Well, let's go to the Lord in a prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be on the broadcast today and for the radio station, for everyone that's listening. And I pray today, Lord, that everyone that's listening will be blessed, however You see fit to use the broadcast to bless them. And I pray, Lord, most of all today, if there's one out there that's not saved, I trust, Lord, I just pray today that You'll speak to that heart, bring them to that place of conviction, and save them by Your marvelous grace before it is too late. Lord, I know we are living on short time. I can tell I'm seeing prophecy fulfilled before my eyes every day, and I do know that it's not going to be long until You're going to blow that trumpet and the church is going to be gone, and those that are left behind are going to face some things that they can't even imagine what they're going to face. Lord, I pray that You speak to a heart today and save them from that. Salvage them from that disaster of the tribulation. Father, I pray for our folks in the church that are sick. We pray for every day that have these serious illnesses. And Lord, I do pray that You'll bless them and help them and give them good days and give them, Lord, days without pain and days of strength and encouragement. Lord, we do thank You for all that You do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those, Lord, everywhere that are sick, afflicted, maybe lonesome, deserted, feel like no one cares. Help them to know how much You care, Lord, that You went to Calvary and died on that cruel cross because you loved us so. Lord, now go with us through the broadcast. Take it and use it. Whatever you do, whatever you accomplish, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started with this continuing our series on Christ as the Rock. Now, I may be able to finish this today, and if I don't today, one more for sure. We'll end this series, and we'll be starting another one, Lord willing, the next time. But to go back to our springboard scriptures that we've used, I believe this is now will now be the ninth message in this series. And we took our springboard from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So all through the Bible, we have found references to a rock that actually has some aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ involved in the interpretation or in the meaning of how it is used. So today, I want to talk about a rock of sweetness, that Jesus is the rock of sweetness. And in order to find that, I want us to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses, start reading with verse number 9. And the Bible says, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." Now, you know that from Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel, his 12 sons. It said he found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange gods with him. Talking about Jacob. And he rode him, he made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. So Jacob found that rock of sweetness. And Psalms chapter 34 and verse 8 says this. It said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." So he says, just give Jesus a test. Give him a try. Just take a taste. Just get a little bit of what it means to be a child of God, to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too will say he is a rock of sweetness. There's such little amount of sweetness in the world today. I mean, everybody hates everybody. This nation's divided. It doesn't matter what you bring up. Somebody's going to politicize it. Somebody's going to turn it around and use it to their advantage. I can't think of anything that you can mention today that somebody is not offended by. And so we find that this world is a place without very much sweetness, it's because so much of this world is without the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. Can I say this? Some of you listening to me probably just as sour and bitter and crusty as you can be because that you have never tasted the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means to have Him in your heart and in your life. I've known people that they hated everything. They hated everybody. They only lived for what they could do for themselves, what they could get for themselves. It did not matter who they had to hurt. Did not matter who they had to step on. Did not matter. No one mattered but them. We're living in a me society today. Everything's about me. No thought or compassion for anything or anyone but their self. As you know why? Because they have not tasted, they have not known the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sweetest touch you'll ever feel is the touch of the Savior's hand. When conviction comes upon you and the bitterness of realizing your sin and the consequences that's going to occur from that sin, and then He steps in and takes all of that away and reassures you that He has taken care of all of that, and that through Him you do not have to fear those things. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everything in your life is going to be smooth sailing and all turn up roses from then on. No. Because if you notice, when Joshua got to Canaan, the promised land, that was where God had led him to. That was what God had promised them. It was the land of milk and honey. It was the best God had to give them. But I want to tell you something. They fought battles all the time while they were in that land. And friend, there'll be some battles. There'll be some hard times. There'll be some times that you won't know what to do. You won't know which way to turn. But I say to you, friend, that you'll still never know anyone or anything as sweet as a relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could only just help you to understand what it means. People think that it's a hard life. They think it's hard to live for Jesus. Well, the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard, and I have found that to be so. Those who rebel against God, they have a hard time. And they do not ever find satisfaction in anything they do in this life. And there's a part about you, inside of you, that God left open just for Him, and nothing else will fill it. Now, the world today is trying to fill it with everything in this that you can think of. They're trying to fill it with wealth. They're trying to fill it with power. They're trying to fill it with associations. They're trying to fill it with money. They're trying to fill it with drugs. They're trying to fill it with alcohol and all the other things that this flesh desires. But there'll never anything satisfy you until you know that satisfying sweetness of the honey that's in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wish I could somehow make you understand and see that. So we find then that He was a rock of sweetness. And then I want you to notice He's also a rock of security. In that same chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32, in verse number 13, where I read to you, not only does it say that He eat increase of the field, and He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Now, oil in the Spirit speaks of the Holy Ghost. And that flinty rock means to be a refuge. It means to be strength, to be a stronghold, to be a fortress, to be lofty and rise above. And we find that this stone, this flinty rock, that refers to Jesus also, because it's through Him. It's through Him and because of Him that we can experience that oil of the Holy Ghost living in our hearts and living in our lives. And we receive that when we receive Jesus. When we are saved, He gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. And He is our comfort. He is our security. He is what makes us know that we are His. Lofty. He will help us to rise above the everyday things that beset us. Yeah, there'll be trials. There'll be battles to fight. There'll be things that you'll have to face. But Jesus will help you. That oil will give you the grace to rise above whatever comes our way. Then, can I just share with you one other thing about a stone? When David was going to face Goliath, he picked up 5 smooth stones. 5 is the number of grace in the Bible. And David went out there, and with one of those rocks, he slew that giant. And he had 4 left. If those 5 represent the grace of God, can I say to you this? That after the job was done, that David set out to do, there was plenty of grace left. There was more grace left than what was used. Can I say to you today that grace is abundant today? The age that you and I live in, the age of the church, the true church, that invisible body of Christ that's made up of all believers, no matter if you want to call it a denomination or a sect or whatever, if you've truly been born again, you're part of that church. And it really doesn't matter about the rest of them, although I do have a preference for the Independent Baptist. I believe they stick closer to the teaching of the Bible than any other. I believe that they defend the Bible better than anyone else, and they stick by it. But in reality, what matters is, are you a member of that invisible church that was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ yonder on Calvary, that church that He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it? And friend, the world today is trying its best to prevail. But I'm here to tell you that when Jesus comes, He'll take it out. It'll still be here and it'll still be going. There's plenty of grace today. Jesus, as the stone, is still plenty capable. There's plenty of capacity left. The millions that have been saved since He was here, and yet their grace still holds. There's more grace out there. Then can I say that He is also the rock of singularity? And we find that in this same chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse number 4, where it said, He is the rock. Now I want you to notice He didn't say He is a rock. The Bible said He is the rock. The being singular. What is so different about Him? Well, I think that next sentence sums it up pretty good, but the rest of this verse sums it up really well. It said He is the rock. Singular. His work is perfect. No one else has ever been able to say that what they did was perfect. You may think that you have done something that was perfect. You may have done some things that turned out well, that accomplished what you wanted it to, and maybe from all appearances it appeared to be perfect. But I want to tell you, friend, that the only one that was ever perfect was God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only man that ever walked the face of this earth that was the perfect man, that never sinned, never had a thought, never had anything that was contrary to the will of His Father. And he was the only one that was ever able to do that. His work is perfect. Why? For all of his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. I say he is a rock of singularity simply because there has not ever been before, since, and neither shall there ever be another that will be like him. He was born of a virgin. He was truly the Son of God. And he is the only one that holds claim to that title. He is a rock of singularity. Now, I want to conclude this series in Matthew chapter 2. And we'll be looking to begin at verse number 42. And I want to read something to you. I think I mentioned this before. That's Matthew 21, 42. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Let me get there. Didn't know I'd get this far, so I didn't mark it. 21, beginning with verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, last week, we did cover that he was the smiting stone. But I wanted to save this one until last to say this. It said that those that fall on him will be broken. But when that stone falls on somebody else, then they'll be crushed. How do you fall upon him? Well, you come and you lay all your burdens upon him. You come and confess all your sins. And you just take him completely as the only way that you can be saved. The only way that you can get in touch with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And friend, you can fall on him and have your old stubborn, stinking, sour, crusty reel broken. You can be broken that way, or you can wait. You can wait until this life is over, and you can go out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find then that he's going to be a smiting stone. And when that smiting stone falls on you, you will be crushed. Friend, today you have an opportunity to miss all of that. Today you have an opportunity to become the Son of God. You have the opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I can't save you. I can't do anything to make you be saved. I have done all I can do. I have brought you the message of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross in your place. He suffered, bled, and died. And he paid the sin debt for every man. And he has offered himself to anyone who will come and be saved. That song we had about the old-fashioned way. Do you know where the church is today? If you look in Revelation, in the very beginning of it, it talks about the Laodicean church. And you find that at that, he's standing on the outside of the heart door knocking. He is out of the church. He's out of men's heart. But he's never stopped knocking. And he's still knocking today. Even in this day of apostasy and coldness and bitterness and hatred, friend, he's still knocking on hearts. And for anybody that will open to him, he will come in and he will sup with you and you with him. He will succor you. He will sustain you. He will save you. He will give you a reason to live and a reason to be optimistic in this day of pessimism. When there's nothing good happening around you, he can make something good happen in your life. He can make something beautiful out of your life today. The closing minutes of this broadcast, would you just consider giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, pray this morning, if there's one under conviction, that you will save them this morning. Lord, I just pray that you won't let them